Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Cream 24/7 Sports covers Duck football, Duck basketball, recruiting, Pac-12 recruiting, Pac-12 sports, all cuts of meat. Specializes in, beef and pork shoulder when he's barbecuing or if he's smoking. Like, did I get that right, Preem? Like, are you more of a chicken, beef, or pork guy if we're talking barbecue and smoking?
My expertise starts with beef, and I'm pretty good with pork. I can do chicken, but it's not my favorite. It's my wife's favorite, but I like to go the other way.
Because it's healthy. That's why your wife likes it. It's healthier. Yeah. You can't... Do you... Okay, because I wrestle with this. I want to do, like, beef all the time. I want it, like, bacon-wrapped or seasoned extra... You know, the fat on it is good. Let it cook in. But then I also wrestle with, like, I can't eat like that, like, 6 days a week.
Yeah, see, the way I've countered that, and because I was the same way for a while, I have started to buy really nice pieces of steak, filet mignons, and have those once or maybe twice if I'm really pushing it, and then have chicken or some other kind of dish that doesn't include a ton of beef in it.
That's
I get a ton of beef. I still find ways to get beef into stuff.
Yeah, I had a friend who texted me last night. He asked me if I had ever barbecued romaine lettuce on the grill. Have I ever grilled that? And I had to think back, but I did try that last summer. It didn't go all that well. Like I lost a few of the leaves. But have you ever barbecued romaine lettuce?
No, I've not barbecued romaine lettuce, but someone has told me that barbecuing fruit, like putting it like watermelon in your smoker just for a little bit could be really interesting. But I've always been kind of interested in researching more of that to figure out how to do it exactly.
I know people are going to call in now with their suggestions. I want to turn the focus to the Pac-12 season. You know, everybody's talking contingency plans, and they should be. Everybody's planning for every possible case because we don't know what is going to happen. You heard the Pac-12 all-exclusive 11-game Pac-12 schedule just like everybody else. What was your initial reaction to that, and how have you settled in with that in the last week or so? If that's what happens, is this something that interests you?
It is. I think this. I look at things in a positive light, and for most cases, I think this whole Corona thing is showing the importance of having some kind of unified leader for college athletics, an Adam Silver or a Roger Goodell, but for college football and for college basketball, someone who can make a decision, and everyone else below that, all the conferences can then fall in line with. And I think the 11 game or the 9 game or the 8 game strictly conference season is how things should go. I think it's the most fair. I think it's the easiest way to create, and it's the simplest. It literally just tell every school out there, every contract that you have contractually agreed upon that's on the book for a non-conference opponent, all of those games, whether it's in 2020, 2021, 2022, they all get pushed back 1 year. And in 1 year, we believe that life will be closer to what we used to know it as than it is now. And in 2020, you may have huge games scheduled. I'm sorry, but this is unprecedented times. We've never seen this before. If we want sports and we want everyone to be on a somewhat even playing field, we have to adapt and just play conference games. And people don't understand the logistics that come with traveling. The state of Texas has quarantine, 2 weeks of quarantine mandatory if you come from the state of California or if you come from New York or if you come from Seattle. You go to Texas, you have a 14-day quarantine in that state. USC plays Alabama week one. How are the Trojans going to do a 14-day quarantine under today's current situation for that? I mean, there's so many logistics out there that you have to work through. In my mind, it just makes it incredibly easy to just say, we're all just going to play conference games, and we'll figure out the bowls. We'll come up with some solution there, and we'll come up with some solution if we can do the college football playoff. We're all going to play conference games, and every non-conference game gets pushed back one season.
I like that because then you don't lose. Like, there's this sense of loss where if, you know, Ohio State doesn't come to Autzen Stadium, they may never come to Autzen Stadium. I was looking forward to seeing North Dakota State, and I want to see Oregon State go to Stillwater and play Oklahoma State. We're talking to Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. There is part of the Pac-12 on Pac-12 schedule that would be a return to sort of the roots of the Pac-8 or the Pac-10, where it really was about winning a conference championship. Remember, there was no playoff back in the day. Would that be a wholesome byproduct that might be beneficial to us all, that a Pac-12 championship would be the ultimate prize this year in the Pac-12?
100%. I mean, let's just look at it and come out and say, look, this is unprecedented times. We're not going to do college football playoffs. We're not going to do college football bowls. The landscape changes so much. We don't, you know, so quickly, we can't properly prepare for these. And that creates kind of a discussion point of, okay, the best we can do is winning our conference. And then it creates you have that sense of a title. A lot of teams get that at the end of the year. And think of all the off-season discussion that you're going to get from who was the best team in college football, because you've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different conference champions that all won their leagues. And that's going to create a ton of discussion from just a pure entertainment standpoint. And I just think it's the fairest way across the board, because we're seeing some conferences come out and say, hey, look, if this conference isn't ready to go, sorry, we're going to leave you in the dust and we're going to keep playing as is.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. If the SEC says, hey, we're playing effective September and we're going to just play a SEC schedule, and the Pac-12 isn't ready, if the Pac-12 goes, no, we're pushing it back to the spring and holds its own season in the spring, does that create a further divide for the Pac-12? Or do you think it will be viewed as the Pac-12 doing a very proactive, inventive, creative solution and set the Pac-12 maybe apart as a conference that valued the health of players and spectators more than others?
I think it'll have both the positives and the negatives. I mean, last week when Governor Kate Brown came out and suggested that all sporting events and concerts and conventions and fairs that are scheduled through the month of September either be canceled or heavily modified, you know, we saw a lot of people, I think, in the Midwest, in the South, in the Northeast, start to bash her. Why are you making that decision in May? Why are you saying this? What data do you have that suggests that this is going to change? And yesterday, the Auburn president went on the school's YouTube page and said that they are going to have football. They are going to have a normal fall, and the only difference is that you, the admitted student, is going to be on campus for this. And he was praised for that. And maybe I'm not trying to be too, you know, negative, but how can that president say that and confidently know in 4 or 5 months or in 3 months that things are going to be back to normal? And he doesn't even have the authority to say that they're going to play football. He can want it as bad as anyone out there. And I want football back as bad as anyone out there. But, you know, there's so many people above their pay grade that have to still sign off on that. And I think if the Pac-12 comes out and says, we're not playing in the fall and we're going to play in the spring when we have a better grasp of this, a better understanding of handling it for our athletes, a better understanding of how to handle it for our administration and for you, the fan, because we want you to be safe as well. And they sit out the fall and we see hotspots blow up. We see, bad things happen from, being rushed into playing sports with fans there. The Pac-12 will come out, unfortunately, in a positive light because they didn't take risks that weren't necessary. And I think that's this whole thing, I think, is showing us what groups of people, what organizations, what programs, what franchises, whatever, can handle not being in control. Because for the first time in a long time, football coaches, they are control freaks. And people that are associated with football, they are control freaks. And they always have to have, be the decision maker. And we're seeing a lot of people struggle with the fact that the president can't come out at a university and say football is going to be played and that's that. Or the coach, Dabo Swinney, saying that he knows that football is going to be played because we're going to get through this. Like, he doesn't have the say in that. And that's why I really appreciate, Mario Cristobal a couple weeks ago going on a conference call with reporters and not really being willing to discuss, when he thinks football comes back, because he said it himself, that's not my decision to make. I'm not in that decision. And when I'm told that we can play football, we'll be ready. And, there are people out there, I think the Pac-12 is one of them, that are taking that approach. And I really appreciate that.
Gordon Gee is the president at West Virginia University. He used to be at Ohio State. I don't know if you remember, he got run out of Ohio State because he made a bunch of jokes about Catholics and the Notre Dame fans went nuts. But he said this today, and I think it's probably the wildest thing that anybody's said so far. Here's the president of West Virginia.
We are going to play football in the fall. I really do believe that, even if I have to suit up. And I've got my ankles taped. I'm ready to go in. But I think that, again, with everything, we're going to do it based upon what is safe, what is healthy for our fans, what is healthy for our student athletes. But I do believe that we will play football in the fall.
I think he's got a hole in his budget, and he knows he needs students on campus. Yeah. I think that's all he's really saying is, and I think the football thing's a cover.
100%. As a consumer, I would much, going back to what Governor Brown said and all these people, that president right there, saying that there's going to be football being out there, that's creating a sense of hope, that's creating a sense of positivity, that's great. And it uplifts people, I'm sure. But at the same time, there's so many moving parts. I mean, it's literally been 2 months, John, since we've played college basketball on a court. Like, just now, 2 months, and it feels like four or six. I mean, that's how many times this thing has gone around and changed and morphed it's nuts of how much this has changed, and we don't know what we can say in 3 or 4 months definitively. And so I would rather prepare for the worst. We're not getting football with fans in September, and people can make their plans and they can accommodate best they can. And then in late July, some positive news hits and the governor comes out and says, I'm pleased to report that because of all your efforts and all your social distancing, that we weren't prepared to have fans in September, but now we can. And it may not be the full group, but we've been able to get to a point as a society where some of you can now go in and watch this game, opposed to, I have a friend in New York that, he has four friends in him who are planning to fly out, spend a week in Eugene, go to the Ohio State game, do a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm sure he would much rather know now that fans can't come and he can either change his plans and go somewhere else or do something different, save that money, than be told in late July, we thought we were going to play football. We know we said we were going to play football, but it's just not going to go that direction, and we're really sorry.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. I appreciate you on barbecue. I appreciate you on college football and basketball. But I mostly appreciate you're a good dad. I see you on social media and love when you post stuff about your kids.
Hey, I really appreciate that. And, you know, like I said, finding positives, you know, I'm around my kids a lot more than I used to be. And so trying to figure out, you know, better ways to interact and do some fun stuff. And, you know, weather's getting nicer now, so we're going to start playing some golf and, you know, just doing some stuff that we don't normally get to do a lot.
You know, it's funny, during the commercial break, right before you came on, I left the home studio and I went into the other room, and the kids are going through this Peter Pan phase where one of them pretends they're Peter Pan. One is Wendy. I'm Captain Hook. So when I come into the room, I get they start screaming like Captain Hook's in the room. So I have to play the role. I have to go, "Ah, I'm Captain Hook," you know. So I do that, and then I'm back in the studio doing a radio show. It's so weird. It's bizarre.
Oh, I have no idea how this happened, but my two boys, they're 9 and 5, and they've gotten into WWE, and I, as a kid, never thought that was interesting, never got into it. And I kid you not, every single night before we put them to bed, they are in one of their bedrooms with the trundle bed pulled all the way out. So it's now turned into like a king size bed, and they are doing WWE moves on each other like nobody's business. And I have to turn corners because I don't know if I'm going to get power drives going around a corner in my house.
That's I love that. And they just take your knees out, or or it's pillows, or it's a dog pile, or it becomes wrestling and they're jumping all over you. So it's good stuff.
Back of the kneecaps. Back of the kneecaps.
Back of the kneecaps.
Fall over.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you, Matt Preem. There he is, 24/7 Sports. Leave it here. Well, if you were on Team Canzano, you got the newsletter today. Happens every Thursday. Join the team. Text BFT, stands for Bald Face Truth. Text that to 484848. I had a couple of people email me and say, I'm not sure how to text BFT to 484848. It would be just like you texting anyone on your phone. You can text BFT, that's the message, and the number you're texting to is 484848. If that isn't working for you, or you don't like to text, you can also go to the Bald Face Truth Facebook page, where you will see a sign-up form for the newsletter. You can get that as well. But for those of you who are signed up, you got the newsletter this morning delivered to your inbox, and I appreciate everybody who has joined Team Canzano. Join the team. Text BFT to 484848. All right, the big splash. It's the biggest thing going on right now.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be.
The big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips haircuts app and check in.
Well, I saw the headline. Ryan Newman says he feels like he's a walking miracle after the Daytona 500. Remember the crash? Well, Ryan Newman doesn't remember the crash at the finish of the Daytona 500. He says he feels like a walking miracle. He talked with members of the media in advance of his first race since Daytona. He'll be at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina. It's a 400-mile race on Sunday. He won't be the only comeback story of the day. It'll be NASCAR's first event since the coronavirus pandemic put the series on pause since March 13th. But today was the first time that Newman addressed the details of his crash. It dominated the sports headlines. I saw it and you saw it, and man, it was scary stuff. But his children, his wife, they got him back. He says it tells him God was involved with it. He feels blessed in more ways.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.